Did you know that inside your body right now is a medicine that can effectively treat over 100 so-called untreatable diseases? Inside each one of us is the most powerful medicine ever known to man. From the time that we are born, we all have what are called adult stem cells. I prefer a more accurate term, repair stem cells, because that is what they are, that is what they do, and that is what they keep doing. Great doctors from all over the world are now using repair stem cells to save and improve lives. Heart patients who were told to go home and die are now regularly jogging uphill. The symptoms of Parkinson's patients are being reduced. Blind children are slowly gaining some sight. Autistic children are taking a step back toward normalcy. Some paralyzed patients who were told that they would never walk again are walking again. And this is merely the beginning of the greatest medical science in the history of the world. I'm Don Margolis of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, and we want you to have all of the information about this amazing field of medical self-repair. This information could just save the life of someone you love. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Don Margolis with our very first two-hour stem cell show, The Truth About Stem Cells. This is the only source in the world where you can get every Friday the entire truth about stem cells, something you will never see in your newspapers and magazines and most websites. The first new thing we're adding today is call-in. We are inviting people to call in for the first time, and here are the numbers. If you have a question, we'll be happy to try to answer them. Toll-free, U.S. and Canada, 888-429-5471. Outside U.S. and Canada, 1-530-413-9537. We'll repeat those numbers again in the second hour. Now I am going to, we're going to talk about briefly, embryonic stem cells and adult stem cells. As you know, as our regular listeners know by now, we have proven that embryonic stem cells are a hoax to drive people away from adult stem cells, which would, if used, would ruin profits for big medicine, especially pharma. Let's go back 5 years when we were the first ones in the world to say, outside the religious community, we were the first ones in the world, and we are still the only institution to say that embryonic stem cells will not be put into human beings for any major chronic disease. I was invited to a seminar in Greece by the greatest spinal cord injury doctor we ever had, the late Carlos Lima. And Carlos invited me to his seminar, and he asked me to say in the words that I used to him when I explained my theory about embryonic stem cells, he asked me to talk about that. In the middle of this talk, first, we're going to be introduced by a professional announcer. And then in the middle of my talk, I mentioned a new institution I started. Well, we didn't keep that name, but we became the Repair Stem Cell Institute instead in the summer of 2008. But this was in the spring of 2008. We mentioned that original name, which was never incorporated. So don't be confused by that. Mr. Engineer, please start.
American Don Margolis is on a personal odyssey. He's come to Kefalonia, Greece, a place close to Homer's Odyssey. While Ulysses fought mythical creatures, Don is fighting deadly embryonic stem cell myths. His weapon is the truth, the adult stem cell truth, that adult stem cell treatments are helping with over 100 diseases right now. More embryonic researchers are coming out and admitting that embryonic stem cells will not be ready to help anyone for decades. And that's just too long for Don Margolis to wait. So he's come to Greece to announce the formation of a new public service company that is dedicated to educating the public about the amazing abilities of adult stem cells. He's here at the third annual Spinal Cord Injury Symposium at the invitation of Dr. Carlos Lima, a neurologist that is helping paralyzed victims walk again using adult stem cells and massive rehabilitation.
My name is Don Margolis. In 2003, I started the first company in the world to treat end-stage heart patients with adult stem cells. Our scientists are in Israel. Our patients are treated in Thailand. As of now, just over 300 have been treated, and 75% of them had their quality of life improve. We could never have done it in America. America is one of the world's poorest countries when it comes to stem cells. America is the Bangladesh of stem cells. Why? A recent poll indicates that 75% of Americans believe that all stem cells come from embryos. 20% either haven't heard of stem cells or don't know where they come from, and 5% know that adult stem cells exist. In other words, embryonic stem cells get publicity and only publicity, and no one knows that adult stem cells get results. Therefore, I have, only 1 month ago, created a public service company with the mission of educating Americans about the miracle of adult stem cells. It's called the International Center for Adult Stem Cell Education. Why have embryonic researchers been failing, and why will they continue to fail to find a therapy in the next decade to match what adult stem cells are doing in 2008? It's a surprisingly easy to explain question. There are only two facts you need to know. Fact one, adult stem cells are in the body to provide medical self-repair. The reason that adult stem cell researchers are improving thousands of lives for almost every disease and medical condition known to man, that it is relatively easy to train an adult stem cell to do what it was born to do, repair. And when they repair what they were sent to repair, they stay there and they reproduce. Two, embryonic stem cells are in the bodies for one reason, to make babies. The reason embryonic researchers always fail is they cannot accept that embryonic stem cells are fanatic in their desire to become babies. Good embryonic researchers can sometimes, with great difficulty and very high cost in time and money, train an embryonic cell to do what he or she wants it to do, such as improve the symptoms of Parkinson's. But no one can control the cell, that cell's impossible to stop desire to make a baby. They do not stay there and reproduce. As Dr. Lima might put it, there is no off switch on an embryonic stem cell. So it cannot be controlled, and the too frequent result is deadly tumors. Now, you know more about stem cells than 95% of Americans. Thank you, Mr. Engineer. To add on to that, we are the only institution in the world outside of religious institutions to tell people that there will never, never be, for any major chronic disease, a embryonic stem cell repair. There are many reasons, and we'll go over very quickly now. Number one, they cause cancer. Number two, the immune system doesn't like strangers and will attack them in some cases. And reason number three, which you just heard, is that they are so dramatically expensive to create and train. Dramatically expensive to create and train. So 6 years ago in 2007, one of America's great stem cell doctors, Jamie Thompson, who was the first to isolate embryonic stem cells and one of the very few honest embryonic stem cell scientists in the world. He and a Japanese associate decided they were going to try something new. That something new is called induced pluripotent stem cells, iPSC. Now, the theory is that you take some skin from the adult patient, some of the skin. Here's a patient, he's sick, he needs treatment. They take some of the skin off, an arm, a leg, doesn't matter, and they train that thing to go backwards in time to the time when it was an embryo and not a baby. And the theory was that they could create embryonic stem cells, which they claim can do anything. That's another lie, but not important. And they can train that to become an embryonic stem cell without an abortion, which satisfies the religious community. Just one thing wrong with that, and we'll go into that in another section. I've just given you three reasons why embryonic stem cells can't work. There are four reasons why induced pluripotent stem cells cannot work. On to the next subject. This one from Rockville, Maryland, a fine stem cell company who's doing a lot of research called NeuralStem, Inc., and they are actually on the New York Stock Exchange, and we're not pushing the stock, but they are doing some good work in research. Now, they have taken up the fight against one of the most difficult diseases to cure. We don't like to use the word cure, but if they can even stretch the lifetime of one of these patients, they will be doing miracles. The name of the disease, we call it Lou Gehrig's disease because the great baseball player died from that disease. It chopped his career off when he was in his 30s. And nobody knew much about it at the time, but they at least knew what it was. Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, which is where it's called, what it's called around the world, because they never heard of Lou Gehrig. Anyway, they are doing a phase two dose escalation and safety trial, which means that they had a phase one trial with a small dose to test the safety of the product, and it was recently completed at Emory University Hospital in Atlanta. So the trial is designed to treat up to 15 patients. Now, if you know somebody that is suffering from ALS, I suggest you look up NeuralStem, contact them, and see how you can possibly get into the clinical trial. The name of the doctor is Dr. Carl Johe, J-O-H-E. I hope I'm pronouncing it correct. He's the chief scientist. He's not only their chairman, but he's their chief scientific officer. And you can contact his office, get somebody to take the name down and communicate with you. They're going to give the patients a lot of injections of their specific stem cell product. Again, if you know somebody with ALS, give them this information and let them contact NeuralStem in Rockville, Maryland. Okay, next subject. One of my favorite subjects, and there are millions of people that won't believe this, so I'm not going to try to talk them into it. I'm just going to tell those of you who know how much the major media are controlled by big medicine, especially pharma, an area of attacking adult stem cells and lying about embryonic stem cells in order to keep people's eyes off of adult stem cells and thus save the incredible profits of $250 million a day. That's what pharma makes every day of every week, selling you drugs that do more to hurt you than save you. But since they own or control every major medium, who cannot refuse them when they say you will not say this and you will say that,
even the New York Times, lies about stem cells because they cannot afford not to get pharma's massive advertising dollars. If they didn't get them, they'd be out of business. So we're going to talk now about CBS 60 Minutes. Now, CBS 60 Minutes doesn't do it for the advertising dollars as much as the others. They do it because they put together a misinformation show. I repeat, a misinformation, like an infomercial full of lies. At CBS 60 Minutes, broadcast this once or twice a year. Same program, same nonsense, and the way they fool the people is very simple. And I'm sure some of you out there have been fooled by CBS 60 Minutes. And the way they do it is this. They go out and they interview a lot of doctors who are doing great work with stem cells and saving lives or improving lives. If that doctor is a legitimate doctor, they take his interview and throw it in the garbage can. That's not their job. Their job is not to tell you the truth. Their job is to lie to you. Ultimately, they will find, and there are plenty of crooks or incompetents in out there selling stem cells, which is the reason the Repair Stem Cell Institute exists, to guide patients to the honest, competent doctors. Well, they find one who may not be honest or may not be competent and expose him for the crook he is. Then they spend half the show telling what a crook this son of a gun is, and then make the point that, see, adult stem cells are crooked. Ignore the great doctors who are saving and improving lives. 60 Minutes knows that if you see this one crook on national television, you will get the result. They will get the result they want, which is to convince you that adult stem cells don't work and are crooked, which is what they say. Lies, lies, lies. Of course, every week on this show, Don Margolis gives you an interview with a patient who proves the lies of CBS 60 Minutes and the lies of pharma when they say adult stem cells only work for 3 or 4 months on the heart disease, and then the patient gets worse than ever. Pure lies, but they are CBS 60 Minutes, and they control the government more than the government controls them. So nobody gives them any nonsense about their lies because nobody can. Nobody can. After all, the FDA is run by pharma, and the FDA is the only one that would object to these lies, and they are paid not to. So that's one half of the CBS 60 Minutes lie. The other half is some lying researcher comes out and tells you how wonderful the future will be with embryonic stem cells. What he will never tell you, and what you will never see on CBS 60 Minutes or the New York Times or any major newspaper or any medical journal which your doctor is forced to read, the truth, very simple truth. Right now, in 2013, there are over 1,200 completed, successful clinical trials registered with the National Institutes of Health on a U.S. government website. In addition, there are another 500 or 600 who have announced ongoing results but are not final, that positive results about embryonic stem cells. Now go to the same source, which has over 4,500 stem cell clinical trials listed, and you get, you instead of using adult stem cells, when you go to this website, www.clinicaltrials.gov, and you open up, it starts out with a search engine, and you put in there adult stem cells, and you'll see over 4,000 listed clinical trials that mention adult stem cells. Well, it's a simple search engine, so a simple search engine will find adult stem cells in the article within that website, almost 150,000 of them are registered. Within that registration, somebody may use the word adult stem cells, but not use it as part of their treatment. So that eliminates a lot, and some of them are eliminated because they didn't raise the money to start up, and some of them are eliminated for other reasons. But there are 2,500 plus that are working, and they are going through the trial. As we repeat, 1,200 have already been successfully treated, successfully completed, and another 500 or 600 are on their way to be successfully completed. Now put in the in their search engine, put in the word embryonic stem cells, and you will find roughly a dozen listed. A dozen, not thousands, a dozen. And now you go, you click on those dozen websites, the registration within clinicaltrials.gov. There's only a dozen. Click on them, look them up, and you will find how many do you think of those dozen are really using embryonic stem cells versus only mentioning it in their record. The answer is less than one. I repeat, less than one. There are zero embryonic stem cells, no matter what garbage you read on the internet and what garbage you read in the New York Times and the LA Times and the Philadelphia Inquirer, et cetera, et cetera. There are zero clinical trials approved and running in the United States of America or anywhere else in the world, because this website, clinicaltrials.gov, accepts clinical trials properly registered from anywhere in the world as long as they properly register. Zero embryonic clinical trials, over 2,500 adult stem cell clinical trials. So the billions of dollars are being spent on clinical trials for adult stem cells, and not a penny is being spent on embryonic stem cells, because it's a hoax and a fraud, no matter what the liars at CBS 60 Minutes say. Enough on that for now. We hope you understand. Now we bring in, we have a little talk by America's greatest stem cell doctor, nutritionist, Dr. James Brawley, who has made several breakthroughs tying proper nutrition to the success of stem cell treatments. And he has a favorite drug that happens to be one of my favorites too. It's called turmeric. So, Mr. Engineer, would you please bring in Dr. Brawley and let him educate our people on turmeric.
Spend a few moments today talking about a favorite medicinal spice of mine called turmeric. It's a spice I recommend frequently to patients who've been treated with stem cells at our center and elsewhere. And I think in a few minutes you'll see why I think this is such an important and exciting supplement. First of all, what is turmeric? Most of you have been exposed to it when you eat curry dishes, made famous from India and Thailand and elsewhere. It's this bright yellow gold spice that gives curry its special flavor. More interestingly to me is its use for over 2,500 years as part of Ayurvedic medicine originating from India. In today's terms, it's now thought of as a powerful antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer spice. Interestingly enough, the first century A.D., Pliny the Elder, a very famous statesman and spokesman and philosopher and politician of the Roman Empire, was complaining about the trade deficit that the Romans were having with India. And their trade deficit was because so many gold coins and silver coins were going to India in exchange for medicinal spices and herbs. And one of the most popular was turmeric. The topic of discussion this morning. My first introduction to turmeric was about 15, 20 years ago. I was on a lecture tour, and I was in an Indian restaurant off the campus of Princeton. And we were talking about spices and herbs from India at that time with the owner and manager of the restaurant, and she shared with me the following story, one I'd never heard before, is that in certain areas of India, when the bride-to-be and the groom-to-be are about ready to be married, they cover their entire body with turmeric so that they have this yellow gold glow about them, for a week or more before the wedding. Now, why did they do that? And why do they still do that, apparently, is because when they take the turmeric off, their skin is clear. Their skin is glowing. There's no blemishes, no pimples. Apparently, I said, that's quite interesting. And I did a little bit more research at the time, and I found that the incidence of certain diseases that today we're treating with stem cells, such as Alzheimer's disease, and also in other areas like colon cancers and gastrointestinal cancers, are significantly lower. And the researchers were saying, well, one of the reasons may be because of this powerful medicinal spice called turmeric. Well, then if you start looking at the scientific literature dealing with conditions that are often treated in stem cell centers, you find that turmeric plays a real important role. For example, arthritis. There are many studies now in human and animal studies that show that turmeric and its active ingredient called curcumin are very effective in reducing pain and stiffness and limitation of motion and destruction of cartilage and other soft tissue of joints. In fact, the use of turmeric, especially in combination with another very famous Indian herb called Boswellia serrata, which is in the Bible called Indian frankincense, works better, longer, without even close to the number of side effects as the more popular prescription and over-the-counter anti-inflammatories like Aleve, Celebrex, and so forth. So it plays a real important role in arthritis. Also in people who have chronic inflammatory airway diseases like asthma, bronchitis, patients I've been treating recently with pulmonary fibrosis, daily doses of turmeric or its active ingredient curcumin profoundly reduces the amount of inflammation, coughing, irritation, mucus formation in these patients if they take it on a daily basis. So it has a role in airway diseases. Over the last several months, I've been providing post-stem cell nutrition recommendations for heart failure patients that have been treated down in Argentina at the recommendation of Don Margolis. And one of the important supplements that I've included in these recommendations is turmeric. Why do I do that? Because studies have shown, at least in animal studies, that turmeric has the ability not only to prevent heart failure, but to reverse it, to actually reduce the size and the work load of patients who have a history of heart failure. There's evidence that in certain types of strokes, that turmeric may play a real important role, number one, in preventing them. One of the problems with strokes is if you had one, you're likely going to have others unless you change your lifestyle and diet. And also, if you have a stroke, to reduce the size of the brain that's damaged by the stroke. So turmeric is now showing a role in the prevention and treatment of certain types of strokes. Going back to Alzheimer's, what fascinates me there is that if you dig deep in the scientific literature, how turmeric apparently works, it actually dissolves, reverses the formation of structures called amyloid plaques that form in the brain of Alzheimer's patients and are part of the disease. If you can prevent that from occurring, or once they occur, dissolve them, you may be in the road towards healing a patient with Alzheimer's. Turmeric has been shown in animal studies to actually prevent the formation of amyloid plaques and to dissolve and reverse those amyloid plaques when they're supplemented with turmeric. Parkinson's disease is another one. They don't have amyloid plaques, but they have abnormal clumping of certain proteins in the brain. Turmeric has been shown, and by the way, it was just thought to be part of the disease process. Turmeric in therapeutic doses has been shown to prevent and reverse and unfold and disperse these abnormal proteins. Some researchers are saying that that may, in fact, be part of the treatment process. The next topic I could spend hours on, and that's the role that turmeric plays in cancer. Now, at Stem Cell Center in North America, we don't treat cancer, but there are other places in the world that do treat cancer. Better Being Hospital in Bangkok, Thailand comes to mind. And what the scientific literature says is the following. Curcumin, the active ingredient in turmeric, has been reported beneficial in the following cancers: leukemia, lymphoma, colon cancer, bladder cancer, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, head and neck squamous cell carcinoma, lung cancer, melanoma of the skin, neurological cancers, and so forth. It's been shown to cut the size of polyps. Polyps are precancerous growths, and usually in the large intestine, are often surgically removed. You can prevent those polyps from forming and reduce the size once they've already formed with daily use of turmeric. I recommend that people get used to sprinkling their meats and poultries and soups with turmeric right out of the can, right out of the bottle that you buy at a supermarket, as a way of preventing cancer of the colon from polyps. Another fascinating thing, if you include turmeric or curcumin with chemicals commonly used in chemotherapy to treat cancer patients, the chemicals work better with less toxicity. What I would like to see is studies forget the chemicals and in chemotherapy and treat patients with therapeutic doses of turmeric and curcumin. I suggest that the outcome would be even better. But if you use it in combination with commonly accepted chemotherapy agents, the agents work better with less toxicity. Also, a study came out that turmeric taken orally and applied topically to the skin kills and stops the growth of melanoma, skin cancers, at least in laboratory tests. And finally, turmeric, or its active ingredients, curcumin, has been shown to have the ability to create new nerves and brain neurons in a process called neurogenesis, and particularly in the area of the brain commonly affected, called the hippocampus. That's part of the brain that's involved in memory, as in Alzheimer's. Also knowledge, also emotions, that may play a real important role in depression. Curcumin has been shown to have the ability to create a significant number of new brain cells in the hippocampus. Absolutely exciting discovery. And that may be the main reason why it's so beneficial, or appears to be so beneficial, in brain lesions or diseases such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. Okay, so what does this have to do with stem cells? Well, basically stem cells that you administer to a patient in a stem cell center. It can be administered by the bloodstream, by the spinal fluid, directly injected into joints that are inflamed. Those stem cells have to go to the area that needs to be regenerated and repaired, but then they need to differentiate or transform. This means the stem cells have to become the cells you need to be repaired, whether they be brain cells, heart cells, nerve cells, kidney cells, insulin-producing pancreatic cells. They need to transform into those cells. Step one. Step two, they need to multiply in numbers. You need many more stem cells and arrive at that site for repair. Well, what causes this differentiation and this multiplication? Increasing levels of glutathione. What does that have to do with turmeric? Turmeric dramatically increases glutathione levels in the body, up to 180%. Just by daily supplementation. Remarkable glutathione regenerating medicinal spice. So perhaps all the benefits of turmeric can be explained by its ability to dramatically increase this powerful antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer healing chemical called glutathione. So in summary, most food spices, if you look at it, have a long history of use in medicine healing. In my opinion, of all these medicinal spices, the star of this group is turmeric. We encourage frequent sprinkling of turmeric on meat, poultry, and soups. And chronically ill patients, we treat with stem cells, patients with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, MS, spinal cord injuries, heart failure, etc., to help the stem cells work better to differentiate and multiply and reduce the ongoing damage in the body. We also advocate daily supplementation with turmeric as part of the therapy. Another way of saying is we're reintroducing a 25-year-old medicine to the 21st century to help stem cell patients respond better to treatment. And with that, Don, back to you.
Thank you, Dr. Jim. As I never get tired of repeating, the Repair Stem Cell Institute believes that Dr. Brawley is the greatest nutritionist in the stem cell industry. The greatest nutritionist, and he's a pretty darn good stem cell doctor, too. If you have a neurological condition that you think needs some stem cells, just write a note to info@repairstemcells.org, and the message, please have Dr. Brawley call me. That's all you need to do, and we'll have Dr. Brawley call you. You might put down a good time for him to call you. He likes to call in mid and late mornings. Okay. Well, we're a little more than past the first half hour. Let's take a short break.
Have you been told repair stem cells are untested, unsafe, ineffective, and even detrimental? Not true. In fact, the safety and efficacy of repair stem cells have been proven in over 1,500 clinical trials in the United States and around the world. Repair stem cells are currently used by doctors worldwide to help people suffering from over 100 serious and so-called untreatable medical conditions. Learn the truth about stem cells with Don Margolis, chairman and founder of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, the world's only stem cell patient advocacy company, helping you and your loved ones to make educated choices and connect with the world's finest stem cell doctors on BBS Radio.
Well, we're back, and it's time to repeat the numbers for those that have questions. The USA and Canada, 888-429-5471. Outside North America, including Mexico, is 1-530-413-9537. We've been informed that the University of Missouri has discovered a major scientific fact about type 1 diabetes, and it's not to be ignored. As you probably know, millions of people with type 1 diabetes depend on daily insulin injections to survive. They would die without the shots because their immune system, their own immune system, attacks the very insulin-producing cells it was supposed to protect. And that's basically what type 1 diabetes is. The immune system goes after insulin-producing cells, and they will die without insulin. Now, a University of Missouri scientist and his team has discovered that this attack causes more damage than scientists have realized up to now. The revelation is leading to a potential cure that combines adult stem cells with a promising new drug. This discovery is reported in the current online issue of Diabetes. His name is Dr. Habib Zaghouani, and he is the Edwards Chair in Pediatrics, leads the research with his team at the Missouri University School of Medicine. This is a direct quote. "We discovered that type 1 diabetes destroys not only insulin-producing cells, but also blood vessels that support them. When we realized how important the blood vessels were to insulin production, we developed a cure that combines a drug we created with adult stem cells from bone marrow. The drug stops the immune system attack, and the stem cells generate new blood vessels that help insulin-producing cells to multiply and thrive." Now, between you and me, We know that this will never get through the FDA this decade, but we're rooting for you, Dr. Zaghouani. Mr. Engineer, do we have a caller? Josh, can you hear me?
Yes, hi, can you hear me?
I hear you perfectly. What can we do for you?
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I had a question about Lou Gehrig's disease. I have a relative with Lou Gehrig's disease, and I'm wondering if stem cells might be a treatment that could help him.
Well, the answer is it's a little complicated, but number one, stem cells, adult stem cells, have been shown to extend the life, in my terms, briefly, of ALS patients. ALS is the amyotrophic lateral sclerosis patients, the real name for Lou Gehrig's disease. But the average extension is only around 9 months. Now, some of them get a year. Most get 9 months. Some get only 6 months. Some get nothing. But that's the best we can do with ALS right now. On the bright side, there is a company called Neuron, N-U-R-O-W-N, that's a trademark name, and the European Commission has granted orphan drug designation for the company's stem cell therapy, which consists of the patient's own bone marrow-derived mesenchymal stem cells, secreting neurotrophic factors for the treatment of ALS. Now, what an orphan drug is, it gets 10 exclusive years without anybody bothering it, so it encourages them to go through with this and spend the money that it's going to take to try to prove this works. There is a company named Brainstorm that's doing trials in Jerusalem at the Hadassah Medical Center. They're already conducting phase two clinical trials for ALS patients. The company anticipates launching a phase two multicentral trial at three leading institutes in the United States at the end of 2013. So, Josh, if you come back to me in November, December, I'll let you know what the status is. If they can get the FDA approval they need, your relative may be able to qualify for that stem cell clinical trial in the USA. Thank you for your call, Josh. Anything else?
Yeah, actually, I appreciate that information. With the adult stem cells, even with the relatively short duration of life extension, but of course it's all relative when you're talking about that kind of condition. What about quality of life through the life extension? Quality of life, does that maintain with the stem cell treatment?
Well, what it is that the patient is already suffering from the normal symptoms of ALS, but the patients are treated at least at the 6 month mark. Say that they are more comfortable, not that they're cured and not that the symptoms have all gone away, but they are more comfortable and they're happy that the patients, the fortunate patients, say that we can see that the disease has not progressed. In other words, ALS is a rapidly progressing disease and it's easy for the patient to tell. For example, in many ALS patients, the freezing of the and the paralyzing of parts of the body starts in the feet and works its way up. And, of course, by the time it gets up to the heart, it's all over. So they can tell that it's during this period of time that the disease is not progressing. Again, 6, 9, 12 months. Anything else, Josh?
No, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Thanks for the call. Okay, now we have an interesting interview with a doctor in suburban New York in a town called Scarsdale. And this doctor is a specialist at treating diabetics. Now, we all know that diabetics are too fat in general. And we're talking about type 2 diabetes now, not type 1. And in general, they are too fat. And we all, most of us know that it's not from eating too much. It's from eating the wrong things. Now, Dr. Shah has a much more effective treatment in that he knows more exactly the real problems. The real problems are not just obesity, but certain things that go along with it that need to be treated that most doctors can't treat because it's beyond standard medicine. So we're going to let Dr. Shah tell his story. I interviewed him 2 days ago, and we recorded it. And I give you Dr. Shah of Scarsdale, New York.
We have with us Dr. Jay Shah, an expert in his field and a double board certified physician, who is an expert on the latest findings for diabetes. And as we know, diabetes is the roaring, fast-growing disease in North America. And it is growing in Europe, and it is growing in India, and growing in China. It already, as of today, has almost doubled the number of patients and diabetics in the last quarter century. Is almost doubled, and especially in the United States, where we're eating all the wrong foods. Dr. Shah, welcome to our program. Can you give us a general picture of your philosophy about diabetics?
All right, sir. Diabetes is a disease which is, as you mentioned, is progressing, jumping. The numbers are jumping very fast. And most important reason for that is the blame to the obesity crisis in the world. Obesity is a disease which is progressing. Now it is called disease by American Medical Association. It is progressing very fast in the world. It is called global city. My definition of obesity is not the weight, but accumulation of extra fat. So I want to find out the root cause of diabetes in a person. Very important to know the root cause, why the person is developing diabetes, and one of them is obesity. And obesity is accumulation of extra fat in the body. And to find out why the person is accumulating extra fat is very, very important. And to know the person's body composition is also very important. See how much fat person has. Weight doesn't matter. But fat accumulation is the toxic substance in the body.
Understood, doctor. Understood.
Right.
Many people think that these obese people eat too much. I happen to believe they eat the wrong things. And what you refer to as the American style diet, it is not beneficial. What can you tell us, what would you tell a diabetic who is heading toward obesity? Today he's overweight and he's not losing weight. What would you tell him?
All right, first thing is to find out the body composition and his metabolism. See how his metabolic functions are. How much calories he can burn per day. How much calories he can burn by activity. How many calories he can burn by going to gym. That's the one thing. Second thing is to learn not to skip a meal. Skipping a meal or eating less is not the solution to control the weight and control the diabetes. Third thing is that eating the right portions or right proportion of the food is important. Proportion means the percentage of the macronutrients, what we call protein, carbohydrates, and fat. And what kind of carbohydrate person should eat is also very important. So going to the root cause of diabetes or going to the root cause of the fat accumulation in the body is very important. And there are several other factors too, which can cause the accumulation of the fat beyond eating heavy portions of high-calorie diet or not exercising. Like medications, the person is on diabetic medication, sometimes those medications can cause weight gain. Sometimes the person is on that depression medicine or anti-anxiety medicine, this can cause weight gain. Sometimes the person has what we call is accumulate a lot of toxins in the body called metal toxicity can make you gain weight. So the inflammation caused by this fat in the body can lead to excess fat accumulation, cause insulin resistance. And the diabetics, as you know, that it is a carbohydrate metabolism imbalance. So to control that carbohydrate metabolism imbalance, it is necessary to learn how much to eat, what to eat, what portions to eat, and how many times a day you should eat.
It's not all that simple. What I hear from you is that you may not use a term, but you're a believer in functional medicine, which is completely different than standard medicine, which makes a quick diagnosis and says, here, take this pill. What you're doing is you're saying, let's find the root cause of this problem, and there's more than one, and it's not just eating a lot or not just eating bad things. There's a root cause, and each patient is different.
That is true, exactly right. Each patient is evaluated differently, including their blood test, metabolism, body composition, and they were given the complete analysis of their what we call is the metabolism, blood reports, and their status of the diabetes. And we find to correct that particular problem by sitting with them weekly basis and trying to monitor them every week and see how much they're improving and how much fat they're losing, as well as how is that blood sugar and diabetes is doing. I have noticed that 5% of the weight loss, as called fat loss, can make them take half the medications they are on, and 10% sometimes makes them totally get off their medications.
Well, that is a goal, to get off the medication. Doctor, where are you located?
I am located in the Scarsdale, New York. My address is 1075 Central Park Avenue, Suite 100, Scarsdale, New York, 10583. And the phone number is 914-722-3000. And my website is www.amarimedical.com.
Amari, A-M-A-R-I?
Yes, sir. A-M-A-R-I, medical.com.
Okay. What would you suggest to a patient in Los Angeles, say, who wants to have you analyze his diabetes? What would you say to that patient if he called you at the 914 number?
I see. If they call me at my number, I will definitely tell them to find a specialist. So I'll suggest a specialist nearby who is a board certified like me in American obesity medicine, and suggest him to go there and evaluate completely his body composition, metabolism, and the status of his blood report, and decide what he wants to do. He is welcome to come to New York, but it is very difficult to treat a person who is a long distance, Los Angeles, without knowing his complete body type, body metabolism, and his body composition.
That seems clear. Thank you, Doctor, for this educational session. There's a lot of diabetics out there that don't know anything like what you just said, and I'm glad they get a chance to hear it. For your information, we're a stem cell advisory company, and we have to keep telling people that stem cells are not a magic bullet. They will improve your diabetes, but without a perfect diet, it's not going to last. And we make that point over and over again, and we got people that are doing very well, and their insulin was cut down to zero, but if they don't stay on that diet, they're not going to stay diabetes-free. Thank you, Dr.
You're welcome. I agree with you 100%. Maintenance is very important.
And with your permission, probably use this every 4 months. I would like to use this interview every 4 months to let new people hear this wonderful advice about diabetes.
Anytime, no problem. I'd like to help the people, and that's what you're here for.
Dr. Shah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Don. Thank you.
Diabetes, there's so many people that have it that don't know they have it. There's so many people that have it and don't really know what to do about it. And without a proper diet, it's never going to go away. Now, we have a caller, but I think we're going to take a break in a minute. So ask the caller to hang on until after the break. I just want to spend a minute now talking about the quality doctors that do what we call functional medicine. Looking for the real cause. That's what Dr. Brawley does. He doesn't just say this patient has XYZ disease. He says we've got to find the real root cause of these things. The best stem cell center we have is a long way away from the United States. It's in Bangkok, Thailand. And I call it the best because in addition to stem cells, they have 10 natural treatments for different diseases. And they test each patient that comes in. And when they come in for 30 days. I repeat, it's a 30-day treatment. The cost is pretty low, considering it's 30 days, only $26,000. But it's 30 days, and what we have in this particular hospital is called Better Being Hospital in Bangkok. What we have for this particular hospital is 97% of the patients rave about the quality of the facilities and the quality of the doctors. But their big secret is finding what's really wrong and then treating what's really wrong. They use hyperbaric, they use chelation, they use platelet-rich plasma, they use this, they use paraphoresis, they use everything that the tests indicate need to be used on the patient in addition to stem cells. Mr. Engineer, let's take a break here at the top of the hour, and we'll be back in a minute or two.
Have you been told repair stem cells are untested, unsafe, ineffective, and even detrimental? Not true. In fact, the safety and efficacy of repair stem cells have been proven in over 1,500 clinical trials in the United States and around the world. Repair stem cells are currently used by doctors worldwide to help people suffering from over 100 serious and so-called untreatable medical conditions. Learn the truth about stem cells with Don Margolis, chairman and founder of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, the world's only stem cell patient advocacy company, helping you and your loved ones to make educated choices and connect with the world's finest stem cell doctors on BBS Radio.
Welcome to Hour 2 of the August 23rd, The Truth About Stem Cells. We have a caller waiting. Alex, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. It's Alex.
Good, Alex. What's your question?
My question is, can stem cells, can you treat PAD? With
peripheral artery disease. Yeah, peripheral
Correct.
Artery disease.
Yes.
Absolutely. That has been treated way back in the days of our original company called Theravitae. It was treated back as early as 2006. Definitely the first ones in the world to treat it
commercially, although it may have been in clinical trials elsewhere. We were, at that time, the only place a PAD patient could come to and save his toes from being chopped off or even his feet from being chopped off. We have, around the world, four different expert stem cell doctors who are proficient at treating PAD. And
is there more than one way to treat it with stem cells?
There's a couple, yes. Basically, though, they take the stem cells, and with a needle, and this is one treatment, to answer your question, is to take a needle and inject the stem cells into the lower leg and also into the foot. And the whole purpose is that the blood delivery system, the arteries and the veins, have shrunk or collapsed, and there's no blood getting to certain parts, particularly the toes, which are the furthest away. And when the toes turn black, they have to be chopped off because that's gangrene and that's deadly. So, that's one way. Some people would like to put the stem cells in intravenously. So there's maybe three different ways they can be treated, and each doctor has his own specialty. So the answer to your question is a definite yes. And there's one more thing I have for you, Alex, if you're interested. Just like the last person that called, we happen to have a clinical trial that might be interesting. First of all, there has been established a network of cell therapy research centers established by the National Institutes of Health, a grant, and the University of Louisville is now enrolling patients in its first clinical trial, a phase two study of a new adult stem cell treatment for peripheral arterial disease. Of course, as you know, that the condition occurs when plaque builds up in the arteries and ultimately blocks blood flow to the legs or in the legs or to the foot or in the foot. So this plaque buildup, as we just discussed, causes gangrene and loss of toes, feet, even ankles and legs. So, yes, there's a clinical trial at the University of Louisville. They were awarded from the National Institutes of Health $3.4 million over the next 7 years to participate in what's called the Cardiovascular Cell Therapy Research Network, a consortium of seven adult stem cell centers in the United States of America with experts in conducting clinical trials of novel treatments for cardiovascular diseases. And Dr. Bowley at Louisville joins now Dr. Joshua Hare at the University of Miami, who, in my opinion, is one of the very top leaders in cardiovascular stem cell research in the United States. He joins our all-time hero, Doris, who's now at the Doris Taylor, who is now at the Texas Heart Institute. And she used to be at the University of Minnesota, and the Minneapolis Heart Institute is in this group too. So, as is her new home at the Texas Heart Institute, University of Florida. So, Indiana Institute is also in there. So,
okay.
Are you
going to have this information on your website?
Probably. Probably it's. It's well, let's say definitely now that you've brought it up, it'll definitely be there within the next week. Thanks for your call, Alex.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's a good idea. We as soon as somebody calls, we delay for a couple minutes till we look up what clinical trials are going on for the disease they mentioned. That's the one thing we ask them, is to name the disease they're interested in. And so we go out and bother the website of the National Institutes, this Institutes of Health, and find the latest. And this news is actually recent news, that Louisville joined Miami and Indiana and Texas in this. And it's a wonderful creation that we got seven cardiovascular competent stem cells around the United States of America doing clinical trials. And as we always have to say, the clinical trials may happen next year or this year even, but you're not going to get FDA approval this decade. It's just impossible to go through the system, because the system was created for drug companies to have a series of clinical trials to prove that their drugs don't kill you, and that they do work, and that there's no terrible side effects. So all this system does is delay stem cell treatments, which we know have been working all over the world. There are doctors all over the world, Israel, and Asia, and Latin America, who've proven beyond any doubt that if you got peripheral artery disease and you can't make it into a clinical trial, we have ways for you to be treated, provided you got the money. Now, the last thing we're going to say today about clinical trials is this. Clinical trials is not the real world. And if you're lucky enough to get into a clinical trial, and we estimate the odds are somewhere between 50 to 1 and 100 to 1 to get into a clinical trial. And the reason is this. The FDA is very tough when a patient dies from during a treatment. Now, especially if you're dealing with cardiovascular, it's possible that the patient may not be in good enough health to survive. Now, if you go to one of our wonderful doctors for a regular non-clinical trial treatment, that wonderful doctor will most likely accept your case. And if you are risky, he will tell you that you are risky. And most risky patients know that their only hope is stem cells, and they are willing to sign the risky document. But that can't happen in a clinical trial. Like I say, it's not the real world. So if you are one of these patients that is not what we'll call the average patient, and they usually ask 10 questions that the answer must be yes for you to qualify, and then they ask another 10 questions that the answer must be no for you to qualify. And, of course, that's the reason why not everybody's going to answer 10 questions yes and 10 questions no. The vast majority cannot answer 10 yeses and 10 nos. So on those 20 questions. So that's why it's very, very, very tough to get into a clinical trial. And that's why we try to publicize any stem cell clinical trial, so that the people like at the University of Louisville get our support in getting patients to go to those trials. Okay, enough on clinical trials. We now have a new subject, that is New Zealand, which is one of the most liberal developed countries regarding stem cell treatments, is starting to open up and doing their own trials. But for years, they have been using something called platelet-rich plasma. And platelet-rich plasma is a product of the patient's own blood system, where it is, think of platelet-rich plasma as like the ambulance of the blood. It's packed with over 20 factors, which not only cause clotting when needed, but can dampen inflammation and reduce pain while triggering repair processes. It's in my language, I will call it pre-stem cells. And some of the good platelet-rich outfits also use stem cells when it's called for. But platelet-rich plasma, instead of delivering just one signal as common drugs do, they provide a variety of help. Well, New Zealand is now adding stem cell therapy to heal sports and other injuries, since they have been proven to be a great success in clinical trials around the world and in treating real people like Tiger Woods or, no, like Kobe Bryant and the great quarterback of the Denver Broncos. So Professor Boyd says it's our aim to ensure this leading-edge therapy is available in New Zealand. Our task as researchers is to understand how the body develops in the embryo and it's maintained in adults, how it tries to trigger its own repair in disease states. What he's saying is our body must be trained to treat itself when it can. Congratulations to you, Professor Boyd. And we now have a caller named Cynthia. Cynthia, can you hear me?
I can. Hi.
Hi, Cynthia. What state are you calling from?
I'm calling from California, and I just came
across
this and so excited.
Well, do you have a question we can help you with?
Yes, I do, actually. I broke my back and neck and leg and pelvic in 1982, and I have residuals from that. I've heard a couple of different things, but so I have that's my personal question. But my brother was recently diagnosed with polymyositis and interstitial lung disease. Do you know of any trials or anything that's going on around that?
Not stem cell trials. You can look up at www.clinicaltrials.org. There's no stem cell trials for either of the two diseases you mentioned. There may be, at least not in the United States, but it doesn't hurt to look it up. You'll see what's going on in the world if there's a trial. And the very first thing when you go to www.clinicaltrials.org, gov, is there's a search engine that you open up with a search engine. And what you put in is you put in adult stem cells in lowercase, and then you put the word "and" in uppercase and the name of your disease. It will tell you if anything even mentions adult stem cells and your disease in the same application for coverage of their clinical trial. And you can read all about it no matter where it is. Now, if it happens to be in Germany, they won't accept the patient because they need the patient close by to follow up with. The whole purpose of a clinical trial is to follow up after the treatment to see how he's doing. So, it helps you to get to know that. You and your brother should get to know that website because new things are happening all the time. And suddenly one day you might go in there and you see something happening in Arizona and they just may accept you. So get to learn that system.
Now,
if you happen to have the money, we have 15 approved stem cell treatment centers at our website, repairstemcells.org. And only one or two of them has any experience with the lung disease you mentioned, and I don't have enough details on your back condition, but our Dr. Brawley would be the first one you would want to talk to in that case. So if you want to talk to Dr. Brawley, telling you in advance, his treatment, which takes place across the border in Tijuana, they pick up our patients at the San Diego airport, van them across the border to a clinic there, and Dr. Brawley's partner does the treatment. Dr. Brawley's in Nevada. The treating doctor is in Tijuana. And you can talk to Dr. Brawley if you want. Here's all you have to do if you decide you want to learn more about it and whether he can help your back condition. You can be treated in Bangkok for that, but Tijuana is a lot closer.
Yeah.
So send an email to info@repairstemcells.org. And just put in the put a description of your disease in the sub and not in just put the name of the disease in the subject and one or two medical pieces of medical information in the email, and we will set up a telephone call between you and Dr. Brawley, if you wish.
Okay, that would be great. But you say it's a lot of money?
Yes, but Dr. Yeah. Brawley is just a great humanitarian, and he will talk to you and give you some advice if he can, okay?
Okay, and then so he would have, Dr. Brawley specifically would know more about spinal type injury repair.
He's an expert on spinal cord injury. He's an expert on spinal cord neurological diseases, and he's an expert on nutrition and how it affects themselves.
Oh, right on.
So
okay. Well, thanks so much, Cynthia.
Info. Just write an email to info@repairstemcells.org. And this isn't only for Cynthia, ladies and gentlemen. This is for any of you that has questions. Your best answer is at info@repairstemcells.org. Thanks for your call, Cynthia. Hope to hear from you again sometime. Mr. Engineer, I am going to bring up another subject here that there is we have an interview. The subject now is the lies that you're being fed by big medicine. And we are going to talk about that for a couple minutes, and then we're going to bring in patient David Merrow. The pharma industry and all the crooks in all over the industry, and I include virtually every major medical school, they take tens of millions of dollars from pharma a year, and they're not allowed to talk about adult stem cells unless they lie about them and tell you they don't work. The newspapers, as we discussed before, they're only allowed to tell you the stem cells, adult stem cells don't work, major newspapers, that is. And, of course, CBS News, the national network, is under the pay of pharma to lie about stem cells. And a couple years ago, a big shot doctor from the University of Pennsylvania, his name was Gearhart, made the statement that the criminally corrupt organization called the SCCNA, the International Society for Stem Cell Research, which is composed of pharma bribe doctors who attack adult stem cells that don't work. Gearson said, said, adult stem cells only work for a few months on heart patients. A few months. He used the number 4 months. This lying murderer, Gearson, joined all the other lying murderers at all the other criminal schools, Stanford, Harvard, MIT, who lie about stem cells, who tell you embryonics are the future, and who tell you adult stem cells don't work. So every week we produce an interview with somebody who is living proof that stem cells work, and stem cells work for more than 4 months. We had one lady in here a week ago who just started her 9th year after she got her stem cells, after standard medicine, the Gearsons of the world, gave her 24 angioplasties and told her to go for a 25th. Now, you heart patients know what an angioplasty is. And how would you like to go for 25 of them in the next few years? Well, this lady had it up to here, and she was one of the first in the world to get stem cells, and she's now met two great-grandchildren she never would have met. She survived, and she's as healthy as she wants to be, and she's a big advocate. So we are going to bring in Mr. Engineer. Let's bring in patient David Merrow. So, Dave Merrow, are you on board?
Yes, I am, Don.
How are you feeling, Dave?
Fabulous. Unbelievable.
It's been 2 years and 1 month if my computer's working. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, it sure has.
And
100% right.
As I recall, your heart situation. Give us a quick definition before and after.
Okay. The bottom half of my heart was dead. My primary care physician had given me 6 months to live. My ejection fraction was almost non-existent. A heart transplant was out of the question because of my age. And so I started researching, and lo and behold, I found your name and the stem cells and gave you a call and had absolutely no idea what to expect. But through all the talking to you so many times and you answering all my questions, I, on blind faith, went to Argentina to see Dr. Vigna. My heart today.
And your heart today is, where's your ejection fraction?
It's almost 2.5 times higher than it was when I was told I had 6 months to live.
Okay, let's not get accused of overselling here. Dave's regeneration was spectacular, no question about it. The average patient, this is based on several hundred patients treated in our early years, 2005 to 2009, and it goes like this. The average age of our patients was 62 and a half. The average inbound baseline ejection fraction was 27, which if you walk into a cardiologist and he sees you, it's a 27, the first thing he says, you need a pacemaker or a defibrillator, and he's right. But 27 was the start, and coming out from the stem cell patient, the average guy came out with 34, and that was at the three-month mark. At the six-month mark, it was 36, and at the one-year mark, it was 37. They're 37, they're already living much better lives. Some patients are, we can't predict what. Is it because they got good diets or they got plenty of vitamin D? We don't know. But some people continue to get better as their stem cells keep working. Others level off at the one to two-year mark, and they're very happy with what they got. Dave, tell us about your lung problem.
Well, my lungs, all my life I've had horrible lungs. Breathing capacity was almost zero. And that combined with my heart, I was barely living. So I decided through talking to you and Dr. Vigna to not only do my heart, but also my lungs. My lungs today, my lung capacity is about 79%. Prior to the procedures, it was almost non-existent. It's unbelievable. I mean, I can do things today that I couldn't do just about all my whole life because of my lungs, especially, and then because of my heart. I can't say enough, and I'm not trying to sell this. This really happened to me. I mean, this is life-changing.
Okay, well, we appreciate that, and we appreciate your being direct. Now, as I recall, the diabetes improvement was not up to the heart and the lung improvements, but as I recall, and correct me if I'm wrong, that your insulin requirements were reduced.
Yeah, They were reduced a little bit, not as much as I had hoped, but of the three, there was a little improvement, but not a lot. But because my heart and lungs are so good, I can exercise, and now there's a lot of improvement. So the benefit is unbelievable.
Dave, you are one lucky fellow. You were lucky that you went with your gut instead of listening to, as Dr. Broly often points out, nonsense from doctors. Nonsense like low-fat diets and not nonsense like diets don't mean anything and nonsense like that. So Dave?
If I might, I had an appointment with my cardiologist today, and he told me stem cells don't work.
Right. It's those pills he gave you that made your heart, your ejection fraction jump up.
That's what he said. And I told him, I said, there's no way in hell that a pill could more than double my ejection fraction. And there's no way it could make a dead bottom of my heart regenerate. So I didn't let him, he asked me why they don't do it in the United States, and I told him. I said, money. The pharmaceutical companies, hospitals. And it's funny, we had a conversation today. I couldn't believe it. I said, this is wonderful. I'm going to be talking to Don tonight, and it's fabulous that my doctor is trying to give me this line. It makes no sense at all.
Giving him the benefit of the doubt, he hardly stands a chance. He's got corrupt medical journals which he reads, which are filled with lies. Here's something I didn't mention earlier. And we'll let you go, Dave. Thanks for coming on. Okay, I guess that's it for Dave's. Mr. Engineer, we're going to take one short little speak here for 30 seconds, and then we're going to take a half-hour break. It is now 5:30 Pacific time, 8:30 Eastern time. And one last thing before we go on our half-hour break. The first lab burger made of meat from bovine cells grown from a starter culture of muscle stem cells was recently cooked and tasted before a global audience. You can do these things on the Internet. Get global audience. Now, this happened in the United Kingdom. The Daily Mail recently reported that a cultured beef burger made from a cow stem cells was cooked in front of an invited audience and served to nutritional scientist Hani Rutzler and author Josh Schoenwald. Dr. Rutzler cautiously described the general effect as close to meat but a bit dry. Well, put some gravy on it, Hani. Citing the lack of fat usually present in cow muscle tissue, but absent in the in vitro grown meat. Aha. So fatless meat grown in a lab. That was a probable cause of the different mouthfeel of the burger made out of cultured lab meat. Besides catching the attention of a global online audience, this food of the future has captured the interest of Sergey Brin, one of the founders of Google, who together with the Dutch government helped finance the groundbreaking research that brought us the lab burger. And that, of course, you know, given the fact that meat is so expensive and hard to raise and uses up so many needed environmental assets, if we can find a way to do it less expensively and without using up so many assets in a lab, then we should be all for it. But that's enough for this subject for now. Mr. Engineer, let's take our half-hour break.
Have you been told repair stem cells are untested, unsafe, ineffective, and even detrimental? Not true. In fact, the safety and efficacy of repair stem cells have been proven in over 1,500 clinical trials in the United States and around the world. Repair stem cells are currently used by doctors worldwide to help people suffering from over 100 serious and so-called untreatable medical conditions. Learn the truth about stem cells with Don Margolis, chairman and founder of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, the world's only stem cell patient advocacy company, helping you and your loved ones to make educated choices and connect with the world's finest stem cell doctors on BBS Radio.
Welcome back. It's now, we've got about 25 minutes left, so let's bring you some more bio news. Another amazing development just happened last month, that stem cells, I want to say this slowly, this is an experiment with mice, but it worked. Stem cells generated from adult cells. Now, adult cells, even skin cells, can generate stem cells. But they have been used to grow tiny liver buds, which were then successfully transplanted into mice. After transplantation, the buds hooked up to the mice's blood supply, they were matured, and were ultimately able to break down drugs given to the mice, a sign that these buds were working, doing what livers were supposed to do. Now, people die because livers don't do what they're supposed to do when they get sick. There's a lot of things that make livers sick. It's not just alcohol. Experts were quick to applaud a development which, if confirmed, would be an immense step forward in regenerative medicine. While other body parts have already been grown and used clinically, solid organs like the liver are most difficult to generate from stem cells. And if we can generate liver from stem cells, we are taking a giant life-saving step, because there just aren't enough transplant livers around for some reason. And people wind up dying waiting for one. So this is only a proof of concept, which is an enormous step, but it is still only a proof of concept. The concept that it possibly can work has been proven. That's all we know. Every scientific commentator was unanimous in their praise for the paper, but they and like me, is cautious in anticipating any immediate benefit for patients. No, it ain't going to happen this decade, but it's a step before. And this was done in Japan at Yokohama City University. The thing proved concept, and that's all we're going to talk about now. Now let's talk. My next subject is my favorite patients. And I go back, all the way back to 05 with some of my favorite patients. And I am going to go back to 05 when we had a patient with a disease, a very complicated form of cardiomyopathy. And this patient came from Michigan, and he was only, as I recall, 32, 33 at the time. And he was told that it was surgery at that time. It wasn't a simple implant with a catheter, and it was real surgery. And it, with him, it took longer because his disease was a bit complicated. And lo and behold, we were all shocked. We expected him to improve. We didn't expect him to go back to normal. And he did. And he and his girlfriend, he was living with a girlfriend. They had a couple of kids, and they had three more kids. And he would rave about, starting in 06, how he was able to play with this kid, how he was able to work his job, how strong he was. And, you know, to him, it was a major, major, major miracle. And because all we told him was we expected him to live a better quality of life and to have get some of his strength back. We didn't expect him. We won't ever use the word cured, but he was as close to it as we ever had. And years went by, and we sent new patients to talk to, new young patients to talk to him in 07, 08, and 09. And then Theravite was knocked out by the pharma industry, knocked out of treating people in Thailand, where they had treated almost 500 people with 70% success. And so we lost touch with him. And just last month, I got an email from his mother that 8 years later, he passed away with a sudden complication that sprung up in his body. And I don't want to talk about the details. I have to keep it private. But we were so saddened by this wonderful young man who was not quite 40 and that had been a stem cell advocate. And he got all he got out of it was 7 wonderful years. Before he got sick. But he was one of my favorite patients, and every week I talk about one of my favorite patients. Just like prior to him, we had a fellow in Dallas, the fellow in Dallas, in 2005, if you can believe it, the very first year of stem cells, became an 84-year-old advocate. He was wonderful. But he fell down. He was in his bathroom, and he tripped and fell down and died of loss of too much blood before he was discovered. But he was one of the greatest, too. I've got a great story about him. He demanded that anybody that was over 65 be sent to him to talk to, since he was 84. So there was a potential patient from not too far away, Singapore, and the potential patient was 80, and his son was 50, trying to get him into the stem cell program. And he had talked to two patients, the son, and then we put him in touch, and we told him, this fellow, you might have to talk to his wife because he's 84, but he's out a lot and pushing stem cells. And so the Chinese son called up the house of this 84-year-old patient and asked to speak to Mrs. And Mrs. Said he asked for Mrs. and it turned out that the patient answered the phone, and he says, "Don't talk to my wife. Talk to me. I'm the patient." And the Chinese guy said, "I talked to him for 45 minutes, and he convinced me, and we convinced the doctors to treat my father. And all my father wanted was to be able to go to his club every day and interview mix with his friends. But all we could do was wheelchair him down there, and he was stuck in that wheelchair because of his heart condition. Not that he was paralyzed or anything, he just couldn't get around. And he needed to be pushed from place to place. Well, the Chinese father, age 80, got treated, and he was a pretty sick guy, but he did get better in that he was able to be driven to the club and walk into the club by himself and stay with his friends all day, 7 days a week, and that's all he wanted out of life. And eventually he passed away too, but the family was just thrilled that Daddy spent his last years with his friends. And those are a couple of my favorite patients. We got lots more to talk about next week, and we will have one or two. Now the subject is, we mentioned before, the functional medicine, the subject of functional medicine. And there's a little bit of a story about that. We've got a couple places that use functional medicine along with stem cells. But it turns out, and this, you can imagine what a shock it was to me. We have 15 approved companies that make stem cells and treat patients. The biggest in the world is called Baker. They've been doing it in China for many, many years. I think it goes back as far as 06. And they use only umbilical cord stem cells. Now, there's a story behind that. The Chinese government, seeing how well Beike was doing with umbilical cord stem cells, and they were giving each patient 6 stem cell implants, which means they needed umbilical cords from 6 healthy newborn babies. And the Chinese government got very clever. They passed a law that said, if you want to store your baby's stem cells, his umbilical cord, so that your family can use his stem cells, that's fine. Ask the hospital for the stem cells. They will test it for disease, and if so, they will turn them over to you, so you can turn them over to a stem cell bank of your choice. Okay? But most people either couldn't afford it or didn't even hear about it or anything, so they never applied. So that the law said, if you don't want to save your new baby's umbilical cord stem cells, you must give them to the government. And the government then supplies, we don't know what they charge, if anything, but supplies the Chinese companies using umbilical cord stem cells with an unlimited, and that is not an overstatement, an unlimited supply of new healthy stem cells. And Beike used those to treat in the years up to and including 2012, 13,500 patients. And the success rates were running 60 to 65%, treating mostly neurological disease and spinal cord injuries, which is actually a neurological disease too. Eventually they got into something called immune system diseases, autoimmune diseases. But basically, they were the best by far, based on experience, treating neuron disease, motor neuron diseases like multiple sclerosis, cerebral palsy, autism, traumatic brain injury. You name it, if it was neural, they treated it. They had 3 hospitals in China for many years. 3 hospitals in China. Then in 2012, Beike was told that the Chinese government wanted very strict controls over the hospitals in China. So Beike gave them one hospital under strict controls, and then appointed a hospital in India to treat excess patients. And unknown to me, and I live in Bangkok, they appointed a hospital in Bangkok to treat patients too. Well, I found out about it by accident, and the people at Bakery said, why don't you go down and meet Dr. Torsak, who runs that hospital. Dr. Torsak is, of course, Thai, and he has two other MDs, both Thais, and all of them wonderful human beings and wonderful doctors, very experienced in stem cells. And I was shocked. This hospital was 1 mile from where I live in Bangkok, and I never heard of it. It certainly wasn't one of the major hospitals, and I went down to visit it and saw that there were 10 beautiful rooms for patients, and they were all occupied. And I met the doctor, and he told me about functional medicine, and that he was one of only three Asians in the American Functional Medicine Society. Now, you've heard a little bit about functional medicine today, like Dr. Shah, when he was talking about medicine, he was talking about first find out what's causing the trouble before you decide what pill to give them. And that's what functional medicine is. They look for the real cause of the disease, not the symptoms. And they generally find it, and they do the job through testing, through blood tests and other tests. And then when they determine what they think is the disease, the cause of the disease, not only do they give them the stem cells, they give them other natural treatments during this 30-day stay in their hospital, which costs $26,000. And that includes everything. That includes food and wonderful facilities, also the facilities for the can handle the patients and their companion. The companions have to do their own food. They get transportation, free transportation. If they want to do sightseeing, they get picked up at the airport. They get taken to the airport when it's time to go home. Everything's included. We the Repair Stem Cell Institute, commissioned 10 interviews of existing patients. And they interviewed 10 patients and asked them about their experience there and how they liked the hospital. The 10 of them were screaming, raving praise. They couldn't believe the quality of this hospital, and frankly, neither can we. So Beke told them that because the patients were so thrilled with this, they needed room for more patients. So Dr. Torsak went to a new modern office building that was less than a mile away and had them convert four offices into bedrooms, into two-bedroom apartments, condominiums, so to speak. And the patients would come, the excess patients, if they weren't in wheelchairs they had to stay in the original 12-room hospital, but if they didn't need wheelchairs, they could go to the new hospital and didn't have to wait for the room to open up. And so they opened up those, and before they knew it, they were filled. So Dr. Forsak went back to the company and created six more rooms. And at the end of August, they will have 20 rooms in this ultra-modern office building, which is a combination office and apartment building. And they're going to have 20 patient rooms at the end of this month available, and so that you don't have to wait. They also have water therapy in this. They have physical therapy rooms in this hospital. And if you're staying here and you need some kind of intravenous treatment, whatever, the nurses come right to your room in this in the new facilities, which is a huge building, 30-some floors, and patients are thrilled with that too, and they get treated there. So we are very, very positive about this. We believe quite frankly, it is the best stem cell clinic in the world for three reasons. Number one, they don't only use stem cells, they use other natural medicines and rarely use drugs and almost never use surgery. That's one reason. The second is the quality of the facilities and the comfort of the rooms. And the third is that the patients just won't stop praising it. So if you want information about this, just write to info@repairstemcells.org and put in the subject Bangkok Hospital. And we'll get you all the information you want. Of course, there's no obligation. Our last subject tonight is going to be another disease. We've talked about diabetes. We've talked about heart. We've talked about lung. Let's talk about kidney. Kidney is an almost always fatal disease. And frankly, stem cells were not used, we didn't know how to use stem cells to help kidney patients until 2011, when a couple of our patients tried it, a couple of our facilities tried it. And the results started out positive but wound up negative. And I shouldn't say negative. They started out positive and then wore off in 6 months. So they stopped after two of these. They stopped doing it. And however, one of our doctors, the man I think is the world's number one stem cell doctor, Shimon Slavin, in Tel Aviv, perfected a new way of treating kidney and has had nothing but success at it. Still only a few patients, but not enough doctors know about the success of stem cells by Dr. Slavin treating this disease. And we're happy to tell you that if you know somebody with kidney disease, and almost all of them are going through dialysis, the best stem cell treatment in the world, in fact, the best stem cell treatment for kidney disease, is in Tel Aviv. The cost, last I checked, it was $28,000, and it takes a week or two to do it, but it's worth a try. In fact, Dr. Slavin treats other things too. If anybody that's interested, here's what you do. You write to us at info@repairstemcells.org, and we'll give you the information you want. Meanwhile, you at home can do the following. Put in quotes in your search engine, quote, Shimon Slavin, Shimon, space, Slavin, end quote. Put that into your search engine in the quotes, and you will get 3,000 hits, and 2,997 of them are top-notch raves about the quality of Dr. Slavin. Now it's time for us to sign off. Thank you for listening. Our first two-hour show, we've managed to fill it up with patients, with calls, and with many different subjects. I kind of like this. And Mr. Engineer, if you will take over, and we'll see everybody Friday the 30th at 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern.
If you or a loved one suffers from a chronic disease, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to suffer, as the medical establishment may suggest. You definitely can have a better quality of life and prolong your years without chemicals, scalpels, radiation, anesthesia, and pills, and more pills. I'm Don Margolis, and I started the Repair Stem Cell Institute to make sure you have all the information you need about how this amazing therapy can help you. Visit our website, repairstemcells.org, and learn how stem cells can help improve your life. If you feel they are the best treatment path for you, simply fill out our no-obligation treatment request form and let us personally guide you through the process of finding the best stem cell doctors and centers in the world. At the Repair Stem Cell Institute, we are proud to say that we have already improved the lives of hundreds of patients. Contact us now and take an important first step toward improving your own life or the life of a loved one.